All right, book of Ephesians this morning. Ephesians chapter number 6. Ephesians chapter number 6. Good to be in God's house this morning. It's about time to come on back to God's house if you're still convalescent. If you're sick, of course, you need to stay home and all this good stuff, but folks have been out of church just about long enough now that you'll never come back if you don't get back in, amen? If you're elderly, they've got vaccines now, you can, and you're first in line.
55 people a day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as I was saying, they got these vaccines now, and you can get those vaccines, and if you've already had the coronavirus especially, they say you might could get it again. Well, I got news for you. You've still got it. When you get a virus never leaves your body. It's stored right there on your spine. Your blood runs to it every day, and your blood is familiar with that. And if your immunity might drop, and it might come back to you, and the symptoms might flare up. Well, if it does that, every other virus that you've ever had in your life is going to flare back up as well. I hate to be a dumb old country boy that has to inform folks about the medical stuff, but I've been listening to what the medical folks have said all my life and hear what they say because I'm desperately afraid of medical things. Amen. If I get a twinge in my side, it must be appendicitis. And I keep my mind fresh on these things, and the bottom line comes down to it. They're lying to you about a lot of these things to keep you afraid, to keep you at home, to keep you out of church, to keep you from opening up your business, to keep you from doing a lot of things. And now that the Democrats are in power, and now that, what's his name up there in New York wants to go to a ball game, it's time to open up. And if Perry Como says it's time to open up, it's time to open up. And Trump is gone now. And so you can begin to come out from your holes and hiding and support the Democrat economy. Amen? And so go ahead and come on back to church now. If you're deathly afraid, fast and pray and ask God to help you and get the boldness to come to church. I promise you, it'll be a lot safer at church than it is at Walmart, where you have handled things that 10 million other people have handled and tried on and carried around the store for 30 minutes and then put it back on the shelf. You're a lot safer here in church than you are at any of these places. Amen? And so you say, Brother Mike, I'm still afraid. Well, I will pray for you. Your pastor will pray for you. And we'll try to live right and do right and get God's ear and get under God's protection. Because I'll tell you this, somebody said something about some folks dying. A lot more folks, listen to me now, get mad at me if you want to, but a lot more folks are dying under the care of the medical field and the government field than they are dying under the great physician. Amen. So it's time to get back on God's side and get back in the house of God. Again, if you're sick and you got some problems, I understand that. Stay home as long as you need to. But when you get well and we get right with God, come on back to the house of God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you think you can lay out of church, if you think you can stay out of church for 6 months and come back and fit right in like it, listen, I'm going to say this, no matter what your age is, if you've been out of church or even just watching church on TV for 6 months, you are not the same person that you was when you stopped coming to church. It's a dangerous thing. It's a danger. This coronavirus is a dangerous thing. Certainly it is, but it's more dangerous to get out from the presence of God. You're going to be in the presence of God from the time you die forevermore. Amen. So now is the time, I believe. Now is the time. And I think that God would be very happy with his people if they showed that they put their faith and their trust in them. Again, let me reemphasize, lest you say I'm heartless and cold and inconsiderate, that if you got some health issues that you're dealing with and you got low immunity because of something that's already going on. I understand that, but there's a lot of folks that are sitting at home of all ages that could be in the house of God. They are They are trying their best to get to Walmart and Food Lion and all these things, but they won't come back to God's house because you sat there on Sunday morning and got lazy. Amen. All right. Isn't it a wonderful day? Amen. All right. All right, let's look in Ephesians chapter 6 this morning. And maybe if you're a little bit fearful in this world, there's lots of things to be afraid of in this world. One of my fears is getting hit by another car whilst I'm driving. I'm a little bit wary. I drive so bad that I think there must be other folks that drive as bad as me, and I'm kind of weary of driving on the open roads. I'm desperately afraid of my kids driving on the roads. My soul, there are idiots out there. They're desperate idiots driving cars on the road. I work in that industry. I pick up the cars of idiots and others on a daily basis, and that's crazy stuff. And my children now have their driver's license. God help us. Amen. Brother Mike, you ought not say stuff like that. Something might happen. Did you know Baptists, you Bible-believing Baptists, are the most superstitious people I've ever seen in my life? I preached one time on depression and got feedback from Bible-believing Baptist preachers. Brother, you had better not preach on depression or you will get depressed. That is the most superstitious. Now listen, if I said, boy, I would really hate to be a millionaire. Do you think I'm going to get $1 million? No, it's the reason that I know it's superstition for you is it's always, brother, don't talk about getting $1 million because it might happen to you. You don't hear stuff like that because they're superstitious, these people. But at any rate, there's some things to fear out there in the world. And it's hard not to walk in the fear of this world or in the fear of men when you don't fear God. But when a man fears God, and when a man knows God, and when a man walks in the power of God, he has very little to be afraid of. You say, well, what do you do all about your fears? I pray. Amen. If I'm afraid for my kids, I pray for my kids. And listen, I trust God. I talked to you a few weeks ago about training, about Christian training, about the training of kids and the training of Christians and the training of new disciples. And I said to you this. I said, I trust the training. I trust it. Well, not only that, but I trust God. And if I pray and ask God to help, I believe that he will. And I can walk astray, whether that be a day or a week or a month or a year, and God will whoop me. He'll chasten me. I know that. I understand that. But at the same time, I know that if I trust God, and when I trust God and I have fears and doubts and anxieties, I know that when I trust and I pray to my God, I'm not talking about just praying, because, you know, a lot of times Christians tend to pray only in desperate times. If you'll think back in your life, you were far more dependent on God when you was sick than when you was healthy. Amen. If there's no pains, if there's no anxiety, if there's no threat of being broke financially, if there's no threat of being divorced, if there's no threat of these things, you know, we tend to, oh, everything's, well, I must be right with God. Everything, and I believe a great many things will go right if you're right with God. And it appears like that even more so because when you're right with God, you're thankful and you're obedient and you're close to God. And even the things that are difficult, God makes a little easier. And he bears the burden for you, and he carries you through, and he gives you strength. It seems like things are going well, even when things are a little bit rocky, a little bit rough. But if you're far from him and the boat begins to rock, then people, well, the psalmist said the same thing. He said, I went astray, and I was afflicted, and then I called on God. That's the way that it is. That's the way that it is. And so we all hit those points and we see those places in our life where we're more afraid of this world and we're more afraid of our fellow man than we are afraid of God. I'll tell you this right now. I'm not afraid of who's the president. It doesn't matter who it is. I'm not afraid of who's the president. I'm not afraid of that. Man, did you know that this world operated thousands and thousands and thousands of years before there ever was a Constitution of the United States? And I'm for America. I'm an American. I believe in the American system. It's not perfect. Well, which one is? There is no perfect government except for that government over which Jesus Christ reigns and rules. There is no perfect government. These are all people out here. They're morons. People are morons. I don't know if you know about that. Brother Mike, did you know you was a moron too? Absolutely, but I'm not running for president. I'm not trying to rule over you. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'll preach and try to tell you what God says you ought to do. I'm not trying to meddle in your affairs and come down. Boy, I tell you what, as a pastor, it didn't take me long to stop visiting the congregation. Have you noticed I hadn't been over at your house very many times since I've been here? I learned that down in Georgia. Listen, if I was to keep visiting your house on a daily basis, boy, I'd have so much ammunition, I wouldn't even have to worry about what to preach on Sunday morning. Amen. I got down there with them Georgia folks, and I was praying about that church yesterday. I think that's a good church. But at any rate, I was visiting the congregation, and you know, as Lester Roloff said, hobnobbing with them, and I'd see George Strait, a CD laid out on the coffee table. I said, boy, I'm going to have to preach on that Sunday morning. It just occurred to me that it'd be a good idea to preach on country music. Must have come down from the heavens or something. No, it come off the coffee table. And I'm not really interested in inspecting your house to see what's going on in your house and eavesdropping on your conversation. I'm not interested in all that stuff. But I am interested in getting you in touch with the one who died for you, the one that saved you, the one that loved you, the one that gave himself for you. And boy, there's plenty of stuff in the Bible that I can use to get that across to you. Amen. Plenty of stuff. And if I can get that across to you and you can put your faith and your trust in God, boy, you have something going then. Amen. And when the doctor says there's bad news, it'll be bad news. And we'll be sad with you and we'll be praying for you, but you'll have a peace that passeth understanding because you're wearing God's armor, not Brother Mike's armor. Oh, the King Saul had a wonderful set of armor. I don't see how David got into it even to try it on, but I don't think David must have been too little of a guy himself. Of course, you talk like he was 16 years old his whole life. When you, they see little David the shepherd boy and they think of him that way his whole life, but I don't know that that's true or not, because David put on Saul's armor. And he didn't say, I can't wear this because it don't fit. Did he? He said, I can't wear this because I hadn't proved it. Well, old David, he said, no, I'm already close to my Lord, and I believe I know how to handle this giant. You can keep your armor. I'm going to go out there and do what I believe God wants me to do. And amen. Amen. And that's what I want to get across to you here this morning. If you could go out into this world, into the highways and hedges, as the Lord said, and go in the power of God, I believe you have a good time of it. Amen. And you get a little hardship in your life, maybe a little sickness, which God forbid. I don't wish these things on you. But I'm telling you that hardship is going to happen. Hardship is going to come. If it doesn't come, listen, if temptation doesn't come by way of coronavirus, it'll come by some man or by some woman or some other foolishness in this world, by television. Listen, I don't want to get too crazy on one thing or another, because you could shoot your television with a shotgun, bury it out in your backyard. Temptation's still going to come tomorrow. Sure. Amen. That's the world we live in. That's the world we live in. So here Paul's preaching a little message here in verse number 10. He does like most of us do. One more thing, and I'm going to quit. You ever heard a preacher say that? He's a liar, isn't he? You look through the epistles of Paul and see that Paul does the same thing. So he'll say, finally, in chapter 5. And then he'll say, finally, in chapter 6. Just like a preacher, ain't he? Just like a preacher. Amen. But I'd rather listen to a preacher than Red Skeleton. Skelton, whatever his name is. Hey, I had a preacher come preach for me. I think he was a little bit upset that we didn't give him a lot of money. I'd just been at the church for a couple of weeks. The church probably didn't have 15 or 20 people. The church was paying me about $300 a week. And boy, we was scraping the bottom of the barrel to get by. Had this big-time evangelist come by, and he preached for us a week. We gave him $600. Boy, that's bad. That's poor. That's poor living right there, $600. And boy, I tell you what, thank God we was able to give more than that later on down the road. But, you know, I happened to find his name, that evangelist's name. He went on down the road. He told me on the way to the airport, he said, "Brother Mike, now I just want to give you a piece of advice. Maybe you want to prepare a little bit more before your next revival so that, you know, you'll be able to put on a revival." What he meant was save up some more money. That's what he meant. But you say, "How do you know that, Brother Mike?" Because folks got saved that week. Now, that was maybe only the third or fourth, maybe the fifth week that we was there, we put on that revival. We hadn't been there very long at all. And the people that got saved in that revival were there the week that I left. 10 years. 10 years. That's good results. Amen. When people get saved and stay in your church for 10 years, that's good. That's a productive revival. Amen. That's why I didn't totally disown the guy, because people can be a little bit idiotic and still be good in other areas. God's, did you know that our God uses idiots? Amen. Amen. He surely does. You're looking at one up here, amen. We're not talking about the rest of the world's idiots and we're geniuses. No, sir. We all got a lot of idiotic traits, don't we? Amen. But listen here, a couple months went by after that revival, and I was looking online, going to try to hear me some good preaching that week, and I saw, here's this big church up in Ohio, and that fella had preached a revival for him. And so I turned on that audio of that preaching. I listened to that preacher preaching, just laid back, and he says, "I was down in Georgia a couple of weeks ago preaching a revival." And he said something to the effect it was the most boring week that he had ever had. And boy, my heart's going, "Oh, I know. I think I know who he's talking about." And he said, "The highlight of my week was the people that I stayed with had a compact disc of Red Skelton, and he enjoyed so much that at the close of each of those programs, Red Skelton said, 'God bless you.'" But people got saved that week. You say, "What is that, Brother Mike? That's a good preacher. Why would a preacher that just preached a revival, that people got saved and got really saved and stayed in there for so long, what would cause a man to think that Red Skelton was a better blessing than folks getting saved? Did you know that there's preachers that are quitting the ministry on a regular basis because they're still getting to preach the gospel every week? Nobody's stopping them from that. Well, these people that go to my church, boy, they're just so hard-hearted and rebellious. What about the people Jesus was preaching to that nailed him to a cross? I mean, I think a preacher would be doing good if they still paying you every week and offering you a cake on your birthday. You ahead of the game, man. These are sinners you're dealing with. These people that you're preaching to every week, they're a bunch of people that need God's help. They need God's help. And if you're going to serve God, you're going to have shoulders big enough to carry the load. And if you don't have shoulders big enough to carry the load, you're going to have to trust in Almighty God to do it for you. God will let you carry the load. God will let you bear burdens. Sometimes he'll take your own burdens so you can bear somebody else's burdens. That's the kind of God that we serve. But folks live in this world and they see, "Oh, this family might leave my church. I don't know what I do. I'm so frustrated." Well, I tell you what, if the only problem you've ever got is that somebody gets offended and leave your church, you got no problems, buddy. You got no problems. "I used to love this church, but that family over there don't talk to me no more." Maybe it's time to get to know somebody else. Amen. You and your three people that you know, that ain't enough. I bet some of you people got 75 contacts in your phone and got 2,000 friends on Facebook, and you don't associate with five people all week long. Ain't that true? Ain't that right? And if one of those people were to turn their back on you and forsake you, you'd think the world come to an end. Well, I don't know if you can't handle somebody turning their back on you. What in the world? Have you read your Bible? Folks didn't like Elijah too much. But Elijah knew God. Elijah knew God so well that God said, I'm going to let you skip this death part and I'm just going to come get you. Drove by in his brand new F-150 chariot and picked him up and took him on home to glory. That's what he did. He said, fiery horses. Ain't no Chevrolet got no fiery horses. You ever drove a weak old Chevrolet? Can't even hardly get out of its way. Anyway, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding about that. It was kind of funny, though. Amen. Elijah didn't sit around worried about that stuff too much. Amen. You say, why? Because he got God on his side. Do you got God on your side this morning? Some of you can't even deal with the fact that I used the word God. He said God. Well, you said the D word this past week. Huh? Which one of those you think God prefers best? Well, God, boy, listen. Watch your language. You say, how do you know, Brother Mike, that we use curse words? Because you post on Facebook. Forgot about that, didn't you? Facebook's a real thing. People can see it. Amen. Amen. Let's do some preaching here. Look in verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. You know, a lot of people, when they take this, they see the Bible. So the Bible says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Well, what does that mean? For you to wallow in the mud for the rest of your life and give in to every situation? No, sir. It doesn't say be strong in your own might. It says be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen. I don't want to go through hardship no more than you. But if I do go through hardship, I got a God to call on. I got a God to ask for my help. I got a God to ask for my strength. And God strengthens me. God will strengthen you. If you call on him, God will help you. God will be there. God will answer your cries. He'll be there speedily. I like the way David was specific in the book of Psalms. God, David would talk to God like this, God, hurry up. Well, patience is a virtue. Yeah, but hurry up. You say, what's that? That's a man that's strong in the Lord. Make haste to help me. That's what David said. Can you get here right now? Amen. So, well, you know, Brother David. All right, listen, don't tell me what David should have done. These theologians. Well, you know, David probably should have. Listen, you can't tell David nothing. Amen. Oh, the King James Bible. We love the King James Bible, don't we? Listen, David cheated on his wife, killed another wife's husband, and David's still a better man than you and me. That's rough for all these preachers that never done nothing wrong. I'll tell you what, I ain't no double married preacher. I'll tell you what. Listen, I know a lot of guys have done stuff wrong. I know that. I know that you ought not do these things. I know that stuff shouldn't be done. But David was a man after God's own heart. He still got messed up in this world. He still got messed up, but he still cried out to God, and God still heard his prayer and answered it. God whooped him. God put him through his own course. Listen, this world has a course, Ephesians chapter 2. The devil's going to try to put you through a ringer. Yeah, but he's out to destroy you. God also has a course. God will put you through the ringer if you step out of line. But God's not trying to destroy you. Even if he destroys you, he's trying to help you. Amen. I'd rather somebody had my best interest at heart whoop me than somebody that's trying to kill me. This world trying to kill you. The world, the flesh, the devil. Sometimes I believe my own flesh is trying to kill me. Don't you? Don't you? I believe I trust God more than myself. All you got to do is look at my menu for 1 week. You see, I'm trying to kill myself. Amen. That stuff is dangerous. What do? I pray over my food. Amen. The same Bible that says a man ought not to, you know, take another man's wife, that same Bible says that a man prays over whatever he eats. Amen. Coca-Cola, going to kill you. Yeah, but I'm going to pray over the Coke. Chocolate cake, not good for you. I'm going to pray over the chocolate cake. Amen. I fear God more than chocolate cake. Amen. So far, God let me do it. God could let me get some terrible disease, and I wouldn't be able to eat it no more. Be a sad day. It would be a sad day. But then I could still trust in God. God, help me to do this. I've had to discipline myself over things before and say, well, I can't do this no more. I can't eat that. But, Lord, it's the end of the world. In my estimation, it's the end of the world. But then I have to pray and ask God to give me the strength to do it. Amen. And that goes through all. Listen, I'll tell you what. Ladies ought to be put in jail for going out in public with these yogurt pants on. That's true. What would they do to a woman who took off all of her clothes and walked down Main Street? Would they put her in jail for that? Most places they would. Well, them things is just like having nothing on. You might be camouflage colored or purple or pink, but you're still naked. Naked. Amen. And listen, men, there comes a time in your life when you're going to have to discipline yourself because your eyeballs and your flesh trying to beat you to death. You go to Walmart and see 14 naked women, you're going to have to say, God, help me to look at the ceiling. It's hard to shop looking at the ceiling, but Jesse uses his hands. You can too. Amen. Tell me I'm not telling the truth to you this morning. Amen. You have to discipline your appetite sometime. An appetite for them yogurt pants will kill you. I'm telling the truth this morning, ain't I? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. There's countless folks, Christians included, get home on their computers and surf the pornography highway. Yes, sir, because they don't have enough power. And let me say this, there's not a man in this room who has enough power. God has to do something in your life. You know it's a natural. Did you know it was natural for men to look at women and go, she's pretty? Did you know that? But now, listen, you're married, if you're married, you're married. And you're not a heathen man, and you got God in your heart. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit to the day of redemption. You can't get out of it. That's what to the day of redemption means. Amen. You're saved by His might. You're kept by His might. You're sealed by His might. You're going to be with Him for eternity. And I'd say get some discipline in your life, right? It takes strength to do. Oh, Brother Mike, them rules and regulations. I'm going to try to get more rules and regulations. I don't like all them convictions. You need to get more convictions. Amen? Just don't trust in them because underneath all them convictions, you still a weak fella. You still a weak lady. I don't know if you know that or not. I'm sure that every man that's saved in this building this morning has a whole lot more convictions. I hope you do. Has a whole lot more convictions than he did the day he got saved. Amen. But you're still a weak man under all them convictions. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. We was walking down the mall yesterday, me and my wife. Amen. Me and my wife went down to the mall, and we was walking around and looking for some things to buy. We disciplined ourselves in that. Amen. So we didn't buy too much, but we walked around and looked around. We went into a store, and I looked at a pair of Air Jordans. I was going to buy them things, but I decided not to. But then I like the Carolina blue ones because I'm from North Carolina originally. But at any rate, put them back on the shelf, and there was some music playing. I told my wife, I said, that's a funky groove right there. I like it. You say, what'd you do, Brother Mike? Got out of that store. Amen. Amen. You say, why? Because we weak under these convictions. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He says, that which I hate, that I do. Well, how can you say you hate it then, Brother Paul? Because he's a weak man with convictions. Hey, this is the stuff that God saved me from, not the stuff I'm supposed to waller in. Amen. My old preacher used to give an illustration. He said you could take your old hog out of the hog pen and bring him in your bathroom. And you can wash him down real good and put an extra curl in his tail and hang a little bow off of his ear. And boy, he'll make a mess out of your living room. And if you let him go, he'll slide right back out there into that hog pen, extra twirl in his tail and ribbon and everything else. He don't care. The Lord said that hog went back to her wallowing in the mire. The dog went back to his vomit. Listen, underneath. Boy, that's isn't that wonderfully encouraging talk? God referred to you as a dog. Brother Mike, I don't like when you call people idiots. God called you an old sow. How do you like that? Amen. You like that? You know what your problem is? You don't like what God likes. That's what your problem is. Amen. That's what man's problem is. But you know God, he kind of owns everything. It's time for, you know, the deity of God gets over. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I hope I can get to the rest of this today because God ain't giving me no direction on coming back to this next week, but the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Did you know the Lord knock a knot on your head if he wanted to? Did you know this is God's world? This world doesn't belong to you. This world doesn't belong to the Environmental Protection Agency. You spill a drop of oil, the EPA come out and write you a fine for it. Do you know what God's going to do to you for what you've done to this place? Amen. They've probably got three or four rovers out there. Rovers, old dogs. NASA's got two or three old dogs out there on Mars right now looking around for life. They can't find life in a pregnant woman's belly. But they're looking for it on Mars. I believe God up in heaven is mad at NASA right now, saying, you got your junk on my Mars. But it's just an old rock. It's just an old rock out there. Ain't nothing on it. It's just God says, get your junk off of my junk. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that's just as true as Genesis chapter 1 or Revelation chapter 1. Amen. The Lord said, read your Bible. The Lord said, you climb up to the stars, I'll bring you down. Amen. Well, what we've got away from is God's might, God's deity, God's power. Listen, this is God's planet. Why should we have to follow all these rules? Because the man that made you said so. And I shouldn't even refer to God as a man, except for the fact that God came in the form of a man. I can say it because of that. But God is the deity that made you. You didn't make yourself. The Bible says, here's your verse against evolution. It is he that hath made us, not we ourselves. We didn't make ourselves. Mechanically or evolutionary-wise, we didn't make ourselves. God made us. God, you say, how do you know God made us, Brother Mike? Here we are. Isn't that scientific and good? Listen, there ain't no mud hole. This ain't much up here. I'll admit that. But there ain't no mud hole can make this. Have y'all seen how much it's rained over the last 2 years in Delaware? Have you noticed that it's been raining quite a bit? Did you notice that most of your yards is a big mud hole? Well, have you seen any men crawling up out of your front yard. Have you seen that? If evolution ever could happen, there's more microbiology going on right now than there ever has been before. And if they ain't going to come out of your mud hole now, did you know lightning still strikes the mud hole? They're idiots. 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 They're trying to get away from God. Why should I obey all these rules? Why should I obey any rules? Because it's God's. And God will do anything. And it's not just that God can do anything he wants to with you. God will do anything he wants to. And people don't fear God. That kind of preaching is not done anymore. Therefore, people do not fear God at all. Hardships come in your life and you automatically say, God did this just to try me. No, God did it to knock you in your head. That's just as, listen, I understand that God does some things to try you. I understand that. I've read my Bible before, but you only see the positive. No, sir. I understand that God will put things in your path to try you not tempt you in the sense of tempting you towards sin, but tempt you in the sense of trying your faith. I understand God will do that. But a lot of the stuff that God does in our lives, Brother Jack, is because we mess things up. And if he didn't correct us, we'd keep on making stuff up. And as long as we don't fear God, we're going to keep on making messes, no matter what he does. You know, I heard that good preacher, that real good preacher said, God was just trying to try me and try my faith, and that I was to stand strong. Listen, I don't want to stand strong in my weakness. And even if God is trying to try me or test my faith, he's doing that with a very weak individual, very weak flesh. My flesh is so weak that even when God tries me, I say, God, I'm not sufficient for these things. Help me. A lot of people will give in to the fact that God's trying you just to make you keep on. No. If God tries you for your sins or if God tries you for your faith, it's always to make you go to him and say, this is enough, God, I trust you. I trust you. God tries my faith. Lord, I don't got enough faith for this. Amen. No, so many people put themselves in a bad situation. Well, I got enough faith to do this. Listen, knock on some ladies. I understand folks went on visitation. I don't know the extent of all that yesterday, but knock on people's doors or whatever the case is. Young man, lady opens the door and says, come on in. No, say, no. I didn't come to invite you to church. Oh, well, I might be able to go in there. No. Now, God, here's this opportunity. The Lord say, give her a track. I got respect for old Jacob. I mean, not Jacob, Joseph. Got respect for Joseph, don't you? Amen. You say, why, Brother Mike? Because he ran. Amen. Oh, he ran from a girl. Yes, he did. He was better off for it. Amen. You say, he went to jail. Yes, sir. It's better to go to jail than mess with another man's wife. But you know, my Brother Mike, my wife, she don't look as good as she did. Shut your mouth. Amen. You're an idiot. Amen. Amen. Listen. Run. Because you ain't strong enough. You're not strong enough for that sort of thing. You got to run. Get away. But I would recommend one thing. He was down there every day, and she goes, hey, come on over here, big boy. He said, no. I don't know if I'd run. I think, I know he was a slave, so it makes it a little bit harder. But we'll put it in modern. We'll put it in the modern sense. If I was working for a man and his wife made advances at me, I'd have to quit. Just quit while you're ahead. Or pray God. Knock a knot on her head. Call in sick till he does. Lord, I need this job over here. There's something in my way. There's something there to hurt me. There's something there to take my affection away from you, the preacher preached the other day. Set your affection on things above. Affection, not affections. That's the way most people read that passage. Set your affections on things. No, you're only supposed to have one affection. Set your affection on things above. Lord, now you're the only one that could get me through this. But people go right on and they say, well, I fell into this temptation and you know, there's no use in going on now, or I'm so comfortable in this temptation that I'm just going to stay here. No, what you need to do is get up and run. Get up and run. Yes, sir. Take a drug one time. Boy, if you're able to wake up, the way they're making drugs this day and time, folks are not waking up even after just one use. But if you're able to wake up that one time, say, oh, God, forgive me, help me, and run. Amen. Get someplace and pray till you get God's power on you. That's what he says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. Be strong. Ain't you tired of being weak? Let me ask you this, Christians. Ain't you tired of praying and talking to God this way? Lord, I did it again. I prayed that prayer many times, hadn't you? Lord, I done that again. I've resolved lots and lots and lots of times just not to lose my temper anymore. I try not to do that. I think if you ask my wife and kids, they'd say I'm not too much of a man that's given to losing his temper and throwing things around. Certainly don't beat on my wife and my kids. Brother Mike, the Bible says, beat your kids. Well, I did that once or twice, and it worked. I hadn't lived tomorrow yet. Tomorrow they might need another good one. I don't know. I don't know that for sure, but I tried to train them right through the first time. Amen. So I don't got to beat them every day. I certainly don't have to put my fist on them or my hands on them. Never have done that. Never will do that. I wouldn't doubt that there's folks that might have a problem with that. Don't know if you're here in this building or maybe out on the internet or something like that. Stop putting your hands on your kids and on your wife. And stop that. Go to God. Get on an altar somewhere and ask God to help you with your problem that you got. And most of this junk, and I don't think, it might be possible, I don't think there's no ladies in here beating up your husband. It might be possible. It might be possible, but if it is, that ladies, this will work for you too. Just get on an altar somewhere and say, God, help me and strengthen me, because you know what? You know who you're angry at. Yeah. It ain't your wife and your kids. Amen. Imagine how good a woman would be to stay with an idiot that beats on her. Oftentimes you ask yourself, why does a woman stay with the fella that beats on her like that? And the answer is because she loves him. But the fella ain't mad at her, no way. He's mad at himself. He's trusting in himself. He loves himself. Things don't go himself's way. So he's an abusive baby. You a little baby. Oh, I'm a lot bigger than you. Yeah, but you choose to beat on your wife. You could have chose to come beat on me, but you didn't. Because inside you a little mouse, and that's what you're mad about. That's why you're beating on your little wife. And if she tells me, I'm going to beat you up. Amen? Because I'm not a mouse. I'm not a great big man, not very tough, not very strong, but I can beat up a man that beats up his wife. I can almost guarantee you that. Amen? I got nothing to be afraid of. And a lot of that stuff, you're afraid of a lot of stuff. Afraid of some man picks on you at work, so you go home and beat on your wife. That's true. That's absolutely true. Whether you're like, well, I don't think you should take up all this time. Well, I'm going to take up all this time on this. Amen. Little mousy, little man, be a little bully. All the bullies. I thank God for all the bullies. Man, when I was little, I was little. Had a lot of bullies. Yes, sir. Thank God for every one of them. I wish I could meet them today. What would you do, Brother Mike? I'd tell them about the Lord. The Lord's got an answer for whatever's going on down there in their little hearts. Yeah, he does. He surely does. He surely does. Amen. You say, why? Because right now I'm trying to live in the power of God's might, not my own might. Amen. Not looking for revenge, whether it's on my wife or any other person. Amen. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, we was at Lowe's yesterday. This come to my mind when we were talking about little mousy people. Me and my wife are standing there looking at stuff in Lowe's, and we were buying blinds. We took them ugly curtains down out of the living room over there, going to put some blinds up. And this fella goes, y'all need to watch out. I turn around, here's this guy with this big old them steps that go nowhere, kind of like the life you're living. That's a good sermon, by the way. You can have it. Anybody that wants to preach that, go ahead. They got these steps in Lowe's. I guess they use it to get up to the top things that are like. But anyway, if they're just sitting there in an aisle, there's steps that go nowhere. Amen. Might be the stairway to heaven if you climb up there and fall off the end of them things. But at any rate, here's this man. He works for Lowe's, and he's got these big stairs coming at us. Y'all need to watch out. I say, no, you need to watch out for us. I don't know what it is with service. When I was a boy, the customer was always right. And I noticed this. If you stand in line, of course, you don't have to do it in Walmart anymore. You check out yourself, even though you don't make any money. But I noticed going through the lines now, people buy stuff and give them money and say, thank you. That ain't even right. You're supposed to buy stuff, and they're supposed to check you out, and they're supposed to tell you, thank you. You bought from them. They're supposed to say thank you. At any rate, I just threw that in there because I was at Lowe's at the time, and I thought I'd put that out to you. Let's get back to the mousy fellas that lose their temper all the time. You need God's power in your life. Amen? Amen. We can go a long ways further than that, but we ain't got time this morning. But I will tell you this. This passage is great right here. It says that you're to be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. He says that down in verse number 14, he says, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. That's the way you stand. The truth. Get in the Bible and find out what the truth is. I believe the Lord can teach you the truth about any subject you're looking for. Public safety. Social distancing. Amen. Amen? Whatever how to stay safe from disease, read the book of Proverbs. It's in there. It's in there. He said, having on the breastplate of righteousness, not only should you have the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ, you should try to start doing the right thing. Well, I can't help it, Brother Mike. Every time I turn around, I'm looking at pornography. Well, do something else. Amen. Do something else. Did you know it's hard to get up off your knees after praying 45 minutes and go rob a bank? Hard to do that. Hard to do. It's hard to do wrong in the process of doing right. Amen. He says, verse 15, your feet shod with the preparation. The preparation. Prepared for the gospel. Do you even know what the gospel is? That's the place to start. The place to start is not memorizing the names of the 12 apostles and stuff. The place to start is to learn the gospel. This is how I got saved. Let me study that so I can tell somebody else. Your feet. Because as you go through your daily life, you're supposed to tell people about the gospel. Can I tell you about Jesus? No, you can't. Well, sorry about that. You need to know the gospel. I told you you can't tell me. Okay, I understand I can't tell you, but Jesus died for your sins. You need to get... Amen. Lay it on them. Lay it on them, amen? If you don't have time for that, let me invite you to church, Faith Baptist Church. I'm not interested in church. Yeah, we're on 300 up there. Tell them whether they want to know it or not, because there'll be a time when they want to know. Amen. Your feet shall with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Shield of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's a shield for you. It's a shield for you. Yeah, but the devil says, I'm going to destroy you. But the Bible says, God's going to take care of me. The government says, this world's going to destroy you. We need to protect you from it. But my Bible said, God's going to take care of me. So that I don't fear what man can do unto me. Amen. Amen. Take the helmet of salvation. I'm saved. Some stuff trying to get in my ears, but the helmet of salvation says, you're saved. The helmet of salvation, we'll talk to you like the Wizard of Oz and Lord of the Rings. I got this helmet on, see? And whenever I get in danger, it speaks to me. And I see a little lady wearing yogurt pants walking down the mall, and the eyeball says, look at that naked woman. And my helmet goes, no, 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 don't look at that. You're saved now. Amen. 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 Verse number 18, praying always. That's enough of that verse, isn't it? Some of you are mad at me because I don't go to 900 different places in my Bible when I preach, but that's enough right there out of that one verse, praying always. You say, what'll that do? That'll help you. If you're a preacher, that'll give you messages. If you're a witness, that'll give you something to say to the man at work. You just can't figure. Lord, you're praying every day. Lord, what can I say to this man? What can I say? Pray. I'm sure you'll have something to say when you get down there to him. I believe in prayer. I trust it. Amen. Amen. Well, good Sunday morning. Feel good. Amen. Amen. Wonderful. I appreciate your prayers last week. Really helped. Had a rough week, but your prayers helped. Amen. Some of you called me this week and said, we're praying for you, Brother Mike, because I asked for prayer last week. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. From time to time, there's one fellow in the church. It'll be 2 o'clock in the morning. He'll send me a text message. Praying for you, Brother Mike. I could say, wonder what he's doing up at 2 o'clock. But he's doing the same thing I am, working. And I appreciate it. Amen? That's what Paul says in that verse, praying always. He said, pray also for me. Amen? Pray for one another. You know what will help you more than anything, Brother Joe, when you got problems and you're struggling? Just start praying for other people. God help them. God strengthen them. God will always come around and take care of you because he's faithful. Amen. Lord, we thank you for your goodness and for your grace. Bless us this morning. Bless us with the truth and bless us with thy presence. We'll thank you, God, for all that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. All right. Take a little break this morning. Looks like you got about 5 minutes and then we'll...